Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayetze. It's a great privilege and pleasure to be able to learn together again. My favorite 30 minutes of the week that I look forward to. And I hope everyone had a beautiful Thanksgiving. And even during these difficult times, I hope everyone was able to find something to be grateful for and thankful for. Certainly, if we are here today, there is what to be said about that. So as always, each week, I present to you three ideas in 30 minutes. These aren't just three ideas, but hopefully three ideas to stimulate conversation at your Shabbos table, to get you thinking about the Parsha a little bit, and different types of ideas. So here we go. Idea number one comes from a story that probably gets a little bit overlooked in the Parsha, and that is a story of first impressions. When I was growing up, my father used to pull us aside every day, every night before the first day of school. And he used to remind us that first impressions are the most important impressions. That the impression that you make on a teacher right at the beginning of the school year makes an incredible impact on how that teacher views you throughout the year. And so he always used to remind us that when we went into school the next day, no matter how much bad or good we may or may not have behaved at home, he always reminded us when you go to school, make a good first impression. Right? And of course, research has been done, whether a first impression is made in 30 seconds, 7 seconds, 3 seconds, whatever the case might be, all of us agree that first impressions are a huge deal. And that's what makes one of the stories in this week's Parsha so incredible. I'm going to read for you some psukim, which I usually don't do in our 30 minutes, but I'm just going to read it for you because you're going to find it comical. And you're going to laugh because I'll bet you never read it this way. Of course, Yaakov comes to the well to meet our matriarch, Rachel. And of course, wells are the traditional shidduch place for our avos and imos. And he gets to the well, and lo and behold, there's an enormous problem. And that's that there's this huge, massive rock sitting on top of the well. And the shepherds are unable to get that rock off. Now, interestingly enough, you have these big, brawny shepherds who are unable to get the rock off. Yaakov comes along and says, I'll take care of it. And Yaakov is able to remove it quite easily, which in and of itself is a beautiful idea in the Parsha. But I want to read for you the conversation that takes place between Yaakov and the shepherds. And you are going to laugh. Here we go. Vayomer lehem Yaakov. Yaakov says to them, Achai, my brothers, right? Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you? Me'ayin atem, right? Where are you guys from? Vayomru mecharan anachnu. We're from Haran. Now, again, you have to envision the scene. Oftentimes when you learn Tanakh, it's not just enough to read it. You have to emotionally put yourself in that situation. So here Yaakov is a complete stranger. He comes to this place. He sees all these shepherds. Yaakov is a strange person in a strange land. And he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? My brother. And they're like, yeah, we're from Haran. Music stop. That's not exactly the warm and welcoming environment that you would have expected. So Yaakov continues, and he says, "Vayomer lehem, hayidatem es Lavan ben Achor? Hey, do you know this guy Lavan? That's who I'm coming for." Again, you sense like an excitement, an enthusiasm, a passion in Yaakov's description of it. Vayomer yadanu, and they respond, "Yeah, we know." And now already the situation's getting a little bit strange because Yaakov is here, this like excited. He's like skipping around. Hey guys, what's going on? Do you know Lavan? And they're like, yes, yes, yes. Right? Vayomer lehem, hashalom lo? Right? Can you tell me something about this guy named Lavan? Is everything good with him? Vayomru, shalom. They say, yeah, he's good. Now, this is what's called a bad first date, right? You are all excited. You bring all the enthusiasm and the passion in the conversation, and the person on the other line is giving you one-word answers, and the conversation is going absolutely nowhere until they eventually say, "V'hine Rachel bito ba im hatzon." Oh, and by the way, Rachel's daughter, she's coming with the cattle. What is going on here? It's such a strange conversation. Yaakov is coming. He's making all this conversation with the shepherds, and the shepherds want nothing to do with it, right? So I want to read for you a source. It's a Tosfos Hadar Zakenim, which is an amazing, incredible source. If I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. It quotes the conversation, and it points out the obvious. It says, "Sheyakov shal lehem ba'arichus dvarim." Yaakov is very conversational. Yaakov is telling them all this amazing stuff. And what do they respond? "V'hein amnu lo belashon katzara." And they are answering him in very curt, short, really rude type of conversation back. Says the Tosos Adar Zakenim the following, and it's going to blow your mind away. Vayom Rulo, the shepherds say to Yaakov, Lama ata mar bedvarim aleinu kokach? Why are you talking to us so much? Right? Don't you know that in our neck of the woods, we are unfriendly? We are not nice to each other. Why are you, you must be an out-of-towner. Right? You must be an out-of-towner. You're so nice. You're so friendly. What are you talking to us so much? Then they say to her, ah, vihine Rachel bito ba'i matzon, shehi dabranis kamoscha. Oh, this is perfect. We don't want to talk. You seem very talkative. But here comes Rachel, his daughter. Vihi dibranit kamoscha. She is a talkative person just like you. She likes to yip and yap. She likes to make conversation just like you like to make conversation, right? Go over to her, say the shepherds. Tish'al mimena koma shetirza. You could ask her whatever you want, make any conversation you want with her. Ein anu rotzim ledaber kokach. We're not really in such a talkative mood. We don't really want to be a part of this conversation. Now, we won't say how that Tosfos Hadar Zakenim finishes off, because it's a little insulting to women. And we like to keep the women in our shir. But nonetheless, when I saw this source, it was unbelievable. Because chapter 29 of Parshas Vayetze is therefore about what? It's a story about how we welcome people. It's a story about how when you meet someone new, whether it's in shul, or whether it's in the supermarket, or whether it's on the street, even with COVID and even with our masks, I have news for you, spoil alert, it's okay to be nice still, right? So no matter when we meet someone, certainly someone new, certainly someone visiting, right? How do we welcome that person? Do we shrug and answer curtly? Or are we friendly and are we welcoming? And so that's the story, is that Yaakov comes to this strange place. He's all alone. He doesn't know anyone. He says, hey, achai, my brothers, what's going on? And they're basically like, yeah, we don't really want to talk to you. We're not really interested in making a good conversation with you. You know what? There's Rachel, his daughter. She's a dabranit kamoscha. She likes to yip and yap just like you. Why don't you go talk to her? We don't want anything to do with this. And so it's a story about how friendly we are to people. It's a story about how welcoming we are to people. And it's not just obviously Yaakov Avinu, but it's about us and our everyday lives, right? Do we welcome people when they come into shul or when we see them and on the street or when we welcome them in a supermarket, right? Do we make an effort to find new people, COVID and all, right? You could still go over to a stranger and say, Shalom Aleichem, it's so nice to have you here. Right, what type of experience does someone have when they come into our community and certainly on our streets? Are we careful to wish everyone a good Shabbos? It's one of my great pet peeves, and because I'm the one giving the class, I can tell you what my pet peeves are. But one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is when I walk by someone on Shabbos and they don't wish me a good Shabbos. I think it's rude. I don't get it. You could be, it doesn't matter. There's no excuse not to say good Shabbos to anyone. In fact, I won't say where, but we sometimes will go places and we'll, let's just say they're not Florida. And my kids and I will play a game where we'll graciously say good Shabbos to everybody and we'll see how many people even respond in saying good Shabbos to us back. And I won't tell you the numbers that we get, but let's just say they are not overwhelming. How many people we say good Shabbos to who simply put their head down and pretend they didn't see us, like it's possible to walk by someone and really not even sense that a person is there, right? But that's exactly the message of this story in the Parsha, is that Yaakov comes. He's a stranger. He honestly needs directions. He doesn't know the lay of the land. And he's so excited to meet these people, and they essentially respond to him, we don't want to talk to you, right? Oh, go talk to that person. That person wants to talk to you. And it's not just there. There's research done all over the place. There was research done in 2007. Anyone who's in education knows this research, where they simply started greeting students at the door of the classroom. And they found that just by a teacher greeting a child at the door of the classroom, in other words, welcoming the child as they come into the classroom that day, led to a 20% increase in engagement from the students academically. That one little change, in other words, just making a child feel welcome as they walk into the classroom, made all the difference in the world. And our shuls have to be the same, and our communities have to be the same. We have to be friendly, we have to be welcoming, we have to smile at people, we have to wish them a good Shabbos, and COVID is not an excuse to be rude to another person, right? If you're walking with masks and you're distanced, you could still say good Shabbos to someone, and they're not going to bite. I promise you, I'm not a doctor, but I know people who are, and they would promise you as well. And so story number one is this beautiful idea. Really, I think this beautiful medrash of the Tosos Hadar Zakenim, that this is a story of how you welcome people. Yaakov here comes to Haran, he's so excited. They're not so excited. And the Torah therefore highlights this story to remind us of just how careful we have to be when engaging and greeting and welcoming other people with a smile, with warmth, obviously offering to help people if they are in need as well. That is idea number one I wanted to share with you this morning. Idea number two comes from the Holy Baal Shem Tov. Now, I obviously did not learn the Holy Baal Shem Tov, but I did learn the Sefer called Lashon Chassidim Al HaTorah. I bought it when I was in Israel in February, which seems like an eternity ago. But it's got some beautiful vortlach in there. So here's the idea. Obviously, Yaakov comes at the beginning of the Parsha, V'hine Sula Mutzav Arza V'rosho Magia Hashemayimah. And he sees, someone asked me on my previous comment, what about people that make you get out of their seats in shul? Don't even get me started with that. Don't even get me started with that. There's nothing worse in my mind than you walking into shul and telling someone else to get out of their seat. I think that is the rudest, most chutzpahic thing. I am sorry if I'm insulting anyone who does that, but we should all know better, right? Find another seat. We have no set seats here in BRS. I remember when my Rebbe, Rabbi Neuberger, when they opened their first shul, the new shul a number of years ago, he refused to allow set seats because he was nervous about what that would communicate to guests and people coming to the community. So again, personally, for BRS, we have no set seats. Anyone's welcome to come sit wherever they want. And if someone throws you out, you come and find me and I'll take care of it. Okay, so V'hine Sula Mutzav Arza. So Yaakov Avinu, of course, he dreams. In and of itself is very strange. We're not going to talk about that today, but it's very strange. Yaakov Avinu, according to Rashi, in the end of last week's Parsha, was learning in yeshiva for 14 years, doesn't sleep a wink. All of a sudden, the beginning of this week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu gets tired and feels the need to sleep. Okay, it's very strange. Maybe he was very tired after 14 years. I get tired after one day with my kids at home. I can't wait for them to go back to school. 14 years, I get it, right? So he dreams, and there's a ladder. V'hinei sula mutzav arza, v'rosha magia shamayma. And the bottom is on the ground, and the top is in the heavens. And what's happening on this ladder? V'hinei malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo. And the angels are going up and down. Now we're going to talk about this in idea number three as well. But idea number two is as follows. According to the Baal Shem Tov, the gematria for the word sulam is the same as the gematria for the word mamon, which means money. Now, if you make that one switch in your understanding of this pasuk, it actually leads to a magnificent reading of this pasuk. V'hinei sulam mutzav arza, right? Money is by definition material. Money is what we would call in Hebrew gashmias, right? It's physical in nature. And therefore, it is mutzav arza. It is implanted on this earth. Money is something that we need in this earth. We all know we're not going to be able to take it once we're gone. It's not spiritual. It's not metaphysical. Money is physical. It's here. It's mutzav arza. But, v'rosho magia hashamayimah. But, what does money have the capacity to do? It has the capacity to elevate us and to bring us up to rosho magia hashamayimah. That if used properly and used in the right way, then something very physical, even like money, can be used, v'rosho magia shamayma, it can elevate us up to the heavens. And what defines whether money is used properly or money is used improperly, says the Baal Shem Tov, rak shamalachei Elohim. In other words, us, the angels of God, we are Hashem's angels in this world, olim v'yordim bo. We go up or we come down through it. That we know people that are able to achieve incredible spiritual heights through something as physical as tzedakah. That if you use your money properly, where your money doesn't control you, but you control your money, right? Where your money doesn't impact the decisions you make, but you use your money for the betterment of the world, for the betterment of the people, to strengthen and to build Torah in the community, then it is olim. Then money has caused you an aliyah. Money has caused an elevation for yourself and ultimately for your spirituality, for your avodas Hashem. But on the other hand, du lahefech chas v'shalom, right? We know the opposite is also true. Yesh lahem yirida gedola la'am kesha'ol al yidei mamona. We all know people who have been destroyed, who've ruined their lives, who lived lives of misery, all because of money. Either it's their pursuit of money, it's their obsession with money, it's their comparing their money with other people's money, and therefore it robs them of their happiness, right? So much can be decided based on our relationship with our money. And so now let's read the pasuk again according to the Baal Shem Tov. I think it's such a beautiful pasuk. Vine sula mutzav arza. There's this thing called money. Again, the gematria of sulam is the gematria of money. There's this thing called money. It's the most physical thing that you and I engage on a regular basis. It is rooted on this earth. But if used properly, if channeled in the right direction, money can be rosho magia shamayma. It can raise us up to the heavens. If we use it to support Torah institutions and to build Torah and to give tzedakah, money is the greatest conduit for spirituality. Vihine malachei Elohim, these are a warning from the Torah, that malachei Elohim, angels of Hashem, me and you, olim v'yordimbo. So much can be decided based on how we utilize our money. Whether we are oleh, whether we are uplifting ourselves, or whether we're yordim, or whether it's causing us a spiritual destruction, so much of that is decided based on money. If you recall all the way back, I don't remember when I shared this, but I'm pretty sure I shared this. It's one of my favorite ideas. I think it's such a beautiful idea. That if you think about it, already in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, all the way back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Avram Avinu that there's going to come a time and a day when his descendants are going to be slaves in Egypt. And he says, V'achreichein yelchu b'ruchush gadol. And afterwards, when you leave Egypt, you're going to leave with an enormous amount of wealth. Let me ask you a question. If you were telling Avram about an exile that was going to happen thousands of years later, would you tell him about, oh, by the way, and you're going to leave with a lot of money? Right? That seems like such an insignificant, trivial comment for Hashem to make. And yet, we know that the Torah goes out of its way that when the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, that they leave Beruchush Gadol, they leave with an enormous amount of wealth, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell us about it. So what does the wealth have to do with the story? So much so, that already in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem foreshadows the exile, he says, and not only are you going to leave, but you're going to leave with a lot of money. Your bank account's going to be full. Why is that so significant? So I saw from Rabbi Golden, Rabbi Shmuel Golden, his beautiful sefer, Unlocking the Torah, where he says, you want to know why the wealth is so important to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, something none of you and I would have ever expected? He says, because think about how the money was used by the Jewish people in the desert. Right? The Jewish people used their wealth in the desert in one of two ways. Either they built an ego with it, they used the gold and the silver to build idolatry to distance themselves from Hashem, or what else was the wealth used for? For the Mishkan. They used their wealth to build the gold and the silver and the gorgeousness of the sanctity in the sanctuary for Hashem in this world. And so the wealth in the Midbar was used in one of two ways. Either to build an egel, to serve idolatry, to distance ourselves from Hashem, or to build a mishkan, to create an avenue for us to connect to Hashem. That is this pasuk of Vihine Malachei Elohim Olim V'Yor Dimbo. There are people who are oleh through money. They were able to use it to build a mishkan. And there were people who are Yor Dimbo. There were people who served at the altar of their money. They let it define themselves. They were constantly in pursuit of it. They were obsessed with it. They were jealous of it. They coveted it. That's the Yor Dimbo. So I saw this idea. I think it's such a beautiful idea. I think it's such an important message for each and every one of us. Certainly as we find ourselves, despite all of the challenges of the world around us, and despite any personal challenges any of us might have, it's hard to argue that we are not living in the most affluent society, certainly for the Jewish people, in the history of mankind. Right? That is somewhat indisputable. That never in the history have we experienced such freedom, such economic freedom, and such affluence as a community as a whole. And therefore, we have to make sure that even though it's sula mutzav arza, even though it's something that's so physical, nonetheless, it's rosho magia shamayima, that through the way that we use our money, and we give of our money, and we share of our money, and we're generous with our money, that enables us to not be your dimbo, but to be ola, to be elevating ourselves through the tzedakah, through the money, and through our relationship to it. I saw that. I thought it was a magnificent idea. I hope you did as well. And idea number three, I shared at a Mincha Maariv this week. I apologize if you were there, but I think it's such a beautiful idea. I think it really will change your Friday night tonight. So here we go. This is it. I always promise you there's one idea. It was worth the price of admission, of which was zero for you. So here we go. That, by the way, that just manages expectations. When you pay nothing, there's no expectations. So here we go. Money back guaranteed. Vayachalom. Again, Yaakov Avinu has his dream. And he has the ladder. Now we're going to be a little more literal. His ladder, that's Mutav Arsa, Varosha Magia Shamayima, and the angels are going up and down. Rashi wonders, what a silly thing to do. Angels going up and down. Doesn't that seem repetitive and super, right? That seems cruel to the angels. Just let them stand in one place. And of course, there's so many Divrei Torah on this. But Rashi says, no, it's not that the same angels are going up and the same angels are going down. It's not like a roller coaster. We're getting them dizzy. No, says Rashi, that Malachim Shelivu Ba'aretz Ein Yotzim L'chutz Aretz, that the angels that escorted Yaakov in the land of Israel cannot go into Chutz Aretz, and therefore they're going up. They're departing the scene. V'yardu, and who's coming down? Malachei Chutz La'aretz Lavoso. Now the angels of Chutz La'aretz are coming down to guide Yaakov the rest of the way. So really it's not one set of angels, it's two set of angels, says Rashi. Now the angels of Eretz Yisrael, who've been escorting him up until this point, they're leaving. And the angels of Chutz La'aretz, who are going to escort him going out, they are now coming onto the scene. Right? Now, what's interesting is you and I play out a very similar scene every single Friday night, whether we really pay attention to it or not. And that is Friday night when we sing Shalom Aleichem. Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Tana Rav Yossi Bar Yehud Omer, Shnei Malachei Asharis Malavin Lola Adam Be'erev Shabbos. Right, the two angels, every Friday night they escort us into our house. Echad Tov, Echad Ra. You have a good angel, the green angel, the blue angel, no? What's the color? Whatever, I think it's green. And then you have a red angel, the bad angel on the other side. And if you come into your house and the table is set and everything is peace and calm and serene, just like my house is every Friday night, by the way, everybody, right? So then the good angel says, Yihi Ratzon Shetela Shabbos Acheres Kach, right? Mirtz Hashem, your house should always be this peace and tranquil. And the angel who's bad has to say, Amen, I guess I have to agree to that. And on the other end, if you come to your house and the kids are going bonkers and they're hanging from the rafters and the table isn't set and everything is chaotic and insane, right? Then the bad angel says, ah, Yihi Ratzon, that it should always be like this. And the good angel has to say, oh, fine, I guess I'll have to say Amen to that. And so every Friday night, we have two angels that escort us back into our house. And what happens to those angels? We do something very strange, right? What do we do to those angels? Anyone want to remember? We say, Shalom Aleichem! Welcome! Welcome to my home! And then you know what we say to them? Tzeischem l'shalom. You've been here long enough. Time for you to go. What a chutzpahdik thing for us to do! Right? We welcome the angels into our house. Shalom Aleichem! Great to see you! 5 seconds later, you know what? Having here is really cramping my style, right? Esti Moskowitz. And so what do we say instead? We say, Tzeischem l'shalom. Get out of here. I don't want you here anymore. So here we go. Two ideas. Number one is the Maharal. Maharal says it's really not chutzpahdik at all. Really what we're doing is that the angels remain with us throughout Shabbos, and we're simply foreshadowing what the experience of Shabbos is going to be like. We say Shalom Aleichem. We say welcome. And then we say at the end of Shabbos, you know, in 25 hours, say Tzeischem l'shalom. May it be that you go in peace the same way you came in peace. That's the Maharal. But listen to this incredible vort from the Ger Rebbe, from the Sfas Emes. He says the following. He said, when we say Tzeischem l'shalom, we're not being chutzpahdik at all. In that we're not really even talking to one set of angels, rather we're talking to two sets of angels. That there are the angels that accompany us throughout the week, and then there is a separate set of angels that accompany us on Shabbos. That on Friday night, when we festively sing Shalom Aleichem, what are we doing? So first, we are welcoming in a brand new set of angels that are here to be with us through Shabbos. And who are we saying goodbye to? We're saying goodbye to the angels of the weekdays. And it's not because the angels are territorial. It's not because angels can't coexist with each other. And so, you know, hey, you know, like the old Western, this Shabbos ain't big enough for the two of us. No, it's not like that at all, says the Sfas Emes. Rather, we welcome in a new set of angels. Because we undergo a metamorphosis. Because over the time of Shabbos, you and I go through a change. We become transformed as we emerge from the weekday into the holiness and the sanctity of Shabbos. And because of that change, And because I'm a different person, I now have a new set of angels because of my new reality. And so what Eretz Yisrael creates in space, right? When Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Chutz La'aretz, he became a different person, right? Avira da'aretz machkim. That the breath, the air in the land of Israel is different than the air in exile. And so therefore, as Yaakov Avinu goes from Eretz Yisrael into exile, he undergoes a transformation. And as a reflection of that transformation, he has a new set of angels escorting him. What Eretz Yisrael creates in space, Shabbos creates in time. Over Shabbos, you and I undergo a change. We undergo a metamorphosis. We are transformed as people. And because we are transformed, a new and a different set of angels have to escort us along the way. And so we say to the angels, Esti, Rina, Moshe Moskowitz, what do we say? We say, Shalom Aleichem. We say, welcome, the angels of Shabbos. I'm so excited to be with you over the next 25 hours. And then we look at the weekday angels. And we look at all the troubles and the difficulties and the anxieties that escort us throughout the week. And you know what we say to them? Seischem l'shalom. For the next 25 hours, I'm not going to worry about you. For the next 25 hours, I'm not going to think about you. For the next 25 hours, all the things that worry me and bother me and follow me throughout the week, Seischem l'shalom. I'm now going to exist in peace and tranquility for the next 25 hours. I think that is such a beautiful idea. And I promise you it will transform your singing of Shalom Aleichem tonight as you envision Shalom Aleichem, the angels of sanctity, the angels of Kedusha, the angels of Menuchas HaNefesh as we welcome them into our home. And we say to all of the stress and all of the anxiety, Tseischem L'Shalom. For the next 25 hours, you're not needed. You're not welcome in my house. Go on your way and I'll see you Motzei Shabbos. So I think that's such a beautiful idea. I hope you found it and resonates with you as well. And so as always, we did 3 ideas in 30 minutes and we summarized that people remember. I don't want everyone to say, oh, those were 3 nice ideas. I want you to be able to remember them and to take them to your Shabbos table. So idea number 1 was the beautiful idea from the beginning of Perek Chavtes of this week's Parsha, of Yaakov coming to the shepherds and saying, hey, what's going on, Achai, my brothers, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, we don't really want to talk to you. And the Tosfos Hadar Zakenim says, the message of that is, how do we greet people? How welcoming are we, right? If we see someone new, if we see someone we don't recognize, do we go over to them? Do we give them a Shalom Aleichem? Do we answer any questions that they have? That is who we have to be. That is the communities we have to create. That's the environment we have to create in our shul. It has to be warm and welcoming, not chas v'shalom, the opposite. Idea number 2 was the beautiful idea from the Baal Shem Tov of how do we use our money? That the word sulam is the same gematria as the word mamon, money, right? That it's on the ground, but it's Rosho Magia Shamayima. But if we use it properly, if we control our money, we don't allow it to control us, then the sky's the limit of how we can use our money. But we are Olim V'Yor Dimbo. We can either be Ole, can uplift us, it can bring us to higher heights, or it could be Yor Dimbo. Think about how many people tragically have fallen prey to an obsession with money. And lastly, this gorgeous idea from the Sfas Emes, beautiful idea, of Shalom Aleichem, Tseischem L'Shalom, just as Yaakov Avinu, as he left Eretz Yisrael and went to Chutz La'aretz, because he underwent a transformation, he needed a new set of angels. That's what we experience every Friday night in Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, we say to the angel of Shabbos, welcome into my home. I welcome that peacefulness. I welcome that tranquility. I welcome that calmness. And then I look to the angels of the weekday, all the stress and all the anxieties and the difficulties, and I say, Tseischem L'Shalom. I am a new person for the next 25 hours. I am transformed. I am a changed human being, and all of the things that I worried about and thought were important for the next 25 hours, they're not. That is the transformation that I daven, that every single one of us should be zocha to experience over the next, as we come to Shabbos. It's an early Friday, so I could even say it's Erev Shabbos, it's almost Shabbos, not to scare anyone. But I hope these 3 ideas you found meaningful. And with that, I want to wish everyone a very happy, joyous, simchadik-filled Shabbos, one of peace, and ultimately one of health.